welcome. You're listening to I'm Stumped, the podcast where we take your dreams and aspirations and your questions, and we weave them into a tapestry of knowledge, which we then display for all the world to see.
Not the world, whoever decides to tune in, which is probably a man in his dog somewhere in another country somewhere.
But I'm Chris Beale.
And I'm Sean Cassidy, and I'll be Chris's co-host for these podcasts, and to answer as many of your questions as we possibly can. But for this week, because we've had zero questions sent in, we haven't had any questions.
Special episode, yeah. Limited edition.
Yes, where we just spontaneously answer any questions that we've found, which I think we found about, how many, six? Six questions?
Yeah, we've got six questions this week. Questions that we've both been asked, that are common general questions. We've got some on student-based things. We've got some topical questions coming your way, and some more humorous ones to lighten the mood as well. So I will get the head rolling down the hill with our first question. What clubs/activities are available at university? And this one comes from my dear friend back home. And I would say that there's pretty much any activities or clubs that you could possibly want to sign up for. You know, we've got our yo-yo tag team. We've got our gravity ball team, for those of you who enjoyed it in Dead Space. We don't have that really, but
I've got no idea what you're on about, by the way.
Oh, haven't you? Have you not played Dead Space?
No.
Oh, grapple, you missed out, man. Yeah, so there's quite a few. I mean, I'm part of the Rifle Association. You know, we spit roast our kills, and we make them into burgers and then sell them to McDonald's. You get some nice squirrel burgers going there. And also, I'm part of the movie making squad.
How many movies have you made?
Well, I personally haven't made any, but we've made quite a few.
Worthwhile you doing in that system?
No, I mean, I spend 10 quid. So that's a good point to sort of come on to, is that a lot of people, you know, want to know how many you should sign up for. I mean, I had this problem last year, and really, it all depends on what subject you're learning. If you're learning one that's not really very intense, then you can get away with using up more of your free time. You know, you don't want to just be sat around doing nothing. But watch the expenses, because they can be quite expensive.
Yeah. It all depends on your free time. You've got to be quite good at time management, I reckon. Isn't that right? Because say if you were doing a course like English, which probably not got many study hours a week, maybe about 6 hours of lectures a week, you've got...
That's so unfair.
Yeah, I know you've got a lot more.
I have 25 hours a week. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, so that means you'd probably be able to join, or you get less time in societies than someone who does English, for example. So you gotta try and organise your life in university.
Yeah, you definitely gotta organise it a bit more around the amount of lectures you get, the amount of time you need to put into revise, which is usually about the same amount of hours that you had lectures that week. Would you say
if you did choose to go to those lectures? Yeah.
If you don't, just stay in bed like you.
I don't really see any point in going to like the yo-yo society when you could just be in paying money for lectures. But
no, their funding is a bit up and down.
yes.
Oh yeah. Terrible. There's a yo-yo blight going on at the moment. They're not getting the funding they need, so
budget's on a shoestring, isn't it? Something like
well, this is just getting we've taken a turn down yo-yo joke alley.
Yeah.
Let's veer away from that and get on to our second question. which is, when should I apply for accommodation? And this is a bit of a controversial question. Some people say that you should apply as soon as possible. I, on the other hand, think you should apply not at all, and that you should just turn up and use your books as a house if you don't get a place. I mean, I'm sure you will. I mean, it's not like they're going to overfill the rooms. I mean, it also depends on what year you're in.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a lot easier to get accommodation in your first year than probably your second year or third year. When did you apply for your accommodation this year?
Oh, I contrary to my advice, I applied like as soon as I could. But you know, you've got to have some people that don't apply till, you know, to leave room for those of us that apply first. Otherwise, you know, everyone's contested over the rooms. You don't get the room that you want.
No. I agree.
So what about in our second year? What are we doing now for our accommodation? You're in charge of that.
If I'm in charge, we're going nowhere. But for the second year, apparently some people I've heard they've applied for the accommodation, they got it all sorted before Christmas. So the recommended time for you to apply for accommodation is probably sometime around February. That's what they say. That's when they say to apply.
Really? Yeah, because I mean, if you apply before Christmas, then, you know, agencies will know that people are trying to get houses before Christmas. It's a good idea to get into, you know, a group of people that you know that you want to be in a house with. You know, don't split up with any of your friends over a house, obviously. But, you know, try and get a house with, you know, a good few of your mates. But don't go for a Christmas, because that's when most people do, and they'll charge you more around that sort of time.
Yeah. You don't want to go to a house with people you don't really get on with or you don't like. So I think the trick is to go with a student accommodation service that you know you can trust, that aren't going to mess you around or give you a accommodation or a house, then you realise you get there and the heating doesn't work, the doors are falling down, the windows are broken.
I mean it's always a good idea to, a general thing that you should always check is one that you've got a nice shower, you know, one that you can sort of sneak a quick peek of any lady friends you have taking a shower in there. You're going to make sure that the doors and windows are well secured, so, you know, you don't get any of your stuff nicked. And you're going to make sure that, you know, you've got no rusty, bloody, blood-stained sheets or knives or dead bodies anywhere. That's always my first thing on my list. Oh, and zombies. You know, you've always got to be careful. You know, the agency's always just trying to sneak them under the floorboards, so you don't know they're there. So keep an eye out for that, guys.
We actually live next to a crematorium. This is where this audio is coming from, next to a crematorium, and that's not really a very enjoyable sight.
No, well, we have to board up the windows at night. You know, we can see them clawing their way.
What, from the crematorium, when they'll be made of ash?
Dust clouds come after us.
What, a pile of ash tries to claw its way into the building?
We choke. I can tell that this conversation has died.
We just lost our...
So we completely lost our way.
Right, well, that news music means it's probably time for the topical section of the show. And I've been looking through the papers and I've found an article. It's about the student protest and the headline, "Police Release New Images of Petrol Bomber." And it shows a hooded figure seen throwing a Molotov cocktail across protesters. And this was in December with the student protests and riots in London.
Yeah, I heard about this. That must be getting quite an expensive habit, being a bit of a petrol bomber, you know, with the rise in petrol prices. It must be it, it must be like a quite an expensive way to voice your opinion, really. And but by the look of his clothes, it doesn't look like he has too much money.
No. I love the way this on the show's picture. He's like a black hooded figure.
Is he wearing a hood?
Yeah, he's the hooded figure that we see him running down the road.
Do you reckon that's his superhero name, the Hooded Figure?
I wouldn't know.
Because by the look of the picture, it looks like he's running faster than the speed of light, because everything's like blurred around him. Either that or the person who took the photo was really, really bad at taking photos.
Maybe he's just running away from the petrol station where he forgot to pay for the fuel. I don't know.
Quite possibly.
But
So remind me, what are they protesting about?
It was the rising tuition fees, which will come into place in, I think it's about 2012 or something, where universities can charge up to about £9,000 a year for students to come study. And what are the prices now? Like £3,500?
That's terrible. For example, I've got a few cousins, and if my second from oldest cousin starts uni this year, then she'll get in and only have to pay what we're paying now. But if my youngest cousin gets in next year, or in the subsequent years after that, then she has to pay three times more for the same education, with the same tutors and everything. But the only reason that the unis are charging more, it's not the uni's fault, but it's because all their funding is being cut by the government. It's been cut by 80%, and they have to make that up by a rise in student fees.
Yeah, you didn't actually go to any of the protests in London, did you? No.
No, I signed plenty of petitions. More than once.
Mm.
You know, any excuse to get my signature down. But it's good for a good cause. So if you see any petitions come around, or that, you know, just show your support.
Yeah, but the only way to get noticed nowadays, though, is to protest and. Or maybe cause a bit of a stir. It's no, a piece of paper is not gonna make much difference when it comes to making decisions and stuff like that. But in the news as well, there's also the story about the guy that threw the fire extinguisher off the roof.
No, I didn't hear about that.
No. This guy, one of the student protesters, decided to throw a fire extinguisher off the roof, and into a crowd of other protesters.
That's stupid. If he's protesting the same cause, it's like, I hate the way the government are using my money, so I'm going to kill people who think the same way as I do. that's just making our student population even smaller. Surely that's just giving us a bad name, the students.
Yeah, and he got caught in the end. He's been sentenced to, I think it's about around two years in
juvenile.
Yeah, juvenile
prison.
Yeah. So that didn't end well for him.
No. Well, I mean, it seems that the establishment will go to any lengths to crush our student spirits.
By the looks of it, that fire extinguisher seems we needed on that picture in the paper.
Yeah, with the petrol bummer who obviously, you know.
No, they could have used.
You know, if he has enough money for petrol, then he has enough money to pay the extra student. No, I'm just yanking a chain. It's not good at all, and. If we get enough followers, then we'll definitely put up a petition along with everyone else to support. They've already decided they're going to put them up, but I mean, just still like a student strike or something.
If we get another 100 followers, I'll throw a fire extinguisher off a roof.
Oh, we'll have to hold him on that, guys. If we get 100 followers, you heard it here first. Sean Cassidy will throw a fire extinguisher off a roof.
Should we move on?
Yeah, so that concludes the news. Really, you should say that, but yeah, we'll go with that. So
that's the end of the news. Right, that was the news section. And before we carry on with the questions, it's a month away now from Valentine's Day. I think it's the 17th of January now, I think it is. And many people are wondering what to buy the other half or whatever. And I think some people had that same problem before Christmas. And it was while I was back in Liverpool, so that's where I come from, where Chris thinks it's the land of burning cars. crime.
But it is.
Yeah, it's in Dorset, a tractor and a full of farmers. But I was in Liverpool and was waiting for a bus. And I was just standing there, and a woman, an old woman, just came up to me, and she went, are you that lad I was talking to you the other week? I went, no. She said, are you sure you're not that lad that I was talking to you about the perfume? I went, no, I wasn't, no. She went, oh, you look exactly like him. I went, oh, right, okay. And so she started going about how, she went, oh, this lad then, I was talking to you. He said, oh, he was trying to buy something for his ma for Christmas, and he came across this this perfume store, and he went in and he got this perfume, and he said it was Paul Hom, and I was like, all right, okay, thinking I can't wait till this bus to come so I can get away from this mad old woman. But she was going on about the perfume. She was like, Paul Hom. She went, do you know what that means? I went, no, it sounds quite French, doesn't it? And he gave this to his ma, and he's like, Paul Hom. And his ma went, hey, that says that's for him. So you can imagine how that lad felt. I was like, yeah. Just trying to make this woman shut up, and just get on the bus. This old woman at the bus stop was just going on about how this lad had bought his mum aftershave, really. Aftershave that you'd normally give your dad. So it got me thinking, it's quite easy to make a mistake with languages, isn't it? Sometimes, I know surely a lot of people have failed like language tests. I know I wasn't very good at Spain. Not Spain, Spanish. Probably one of the reasons why I failed. But we're just wondering, for our next question, what would you do if you failed your exams? And have you got any answers on this, Chris? What should you actually do if you end up getting your results?
Kill yourself. just end it now. Just I mean, you'd be so disappointed. You put in all that work. You know, you did your hardest, but the system still let you down. I'd just end it now. Do you think that's good advice?
It's a bit extreme, don't you think? Kill yourself.
You actually want some genuine advice from me?
Yeah.
Oh. What you should have said. I think that you should try again. Because it's that old saying, isn't it? Try again. That's self-explanatory, really.
Isn't it just easier to quit and give up?
Yeah, but if you quit everything you do, then you'll never get anything done, would you? You know, if you failed once, like, nothing will ever get done. Like, if you, for example, wanted to make yourself a sandwich, but you dropped the bread on the floor. Then, if you just went, you know what? I'm not gonna have a sandwich. I'm not gonna eat. You know, then you know you wouldn't eat, and then you'd starve because you just wouldn't be able to ever make sandwiches again because you've just given up on sandwiches. And you know, I live off sandwiches. That's your student lifestyle. That's what you do. You live off sandwiches. So yeah, just try again. Like, that's what I would say. You've got to.
Okay, well, what happens if you got to the end of the first year at uni, then you found out you'd failed? You'd have to do the whole first year again. Would you want to do the whole first year again and pay that extra money?
Yeah, well, I suppose that is a big deal. I mean, it depends. You're still around your same friends, aren't you? You know, in the end, uni's supposed to be the best time of your life. That's what it's described as being in the brochure. And in the holiday brochure, and I think I would say that I would cut most of what I've just said. That's what I would say. But seriously, I think that you should definitely stick with it. Karen, that's my advice. That's my general advice to the end of that question. So we will now turn our thoughts and our minds and our prayers towards the last question before we start to wrap up the show. And I'm going to let Sean take this one. So, Sean, hit us with that last question.
Right, as we near the end of the show, we've got one of the final questions here. It's whether or not you'd try and get a job over the summer. And there's been a bit of news stories over jobs in the past week or so. Like, apparently the raising the retirement age from, it's going up from 65, so it'll be even by the time we're what, 19 now, by the time we come to retire it'll be probably about 80 years old, you have to keep working.
God, that's depressing.
So yeah, we were wondering, would you, Chris, think of getting a job over the summer, perhaps?
I think it's definitely a good idea. I mean, it definitely depends, you know, where you can get a job, because, you know, now with the economic downturn.
What jobs have you had in the past?
Well, I mean, I managed to get a job in Mazatlan. That was a laugh. But I mean, it's really anything you can get. I mean, money's a necessity. You know, it's something that everyone wants.
Oh yeah.
So to get money, you have to have a job, and to really be able to have money to spend at uni, you want to be able to pay off some of your debt. So I think it's always a good idea to try and get a job. But if you can't get a job, then don't let your folks tell you that you obviously didn't try hard enough to find a job or whatever, because we are in tough times. So keep positive, guys.
Do you have a guess what a survey, which is the average amount of money students earn per hour during term time in 2010?
Yeah.
Jobs, have a guess how much.
How much the students earn per hour? And is it, yeah. About £8 an hour, I would say.
No, it's £6.50, apparently.
That's terrible.
But
that's still money.
Yeah, it's money's important. You only work to get money, don't you? You don't work. Maybe you work, you enjoy it. But a summer job's perhaps a necessity if you need to spend money over summer.
Well, I mean, it's always. It depends. If you go by the philosophy that you only live once, then no, don't get a job. Don't get a job. Spend all your money that you got from your student loan. Get a huge tattoo on your back with the money, and then just starve for the rest of the year. That's all you need to do. But if you believe that you should save your money, then I would definitely say that you should get a job, because then it's more money that you don't have to worry about paying back.
Oh yeah, you want jobs on your CV as well when you're in education. Like if you're in university now, and I don't know how many people are listening to this who go to university, probably none. But if you're in university, you probably get jobs to put on your CV, don't you? So when you go to apply for your first proper job in the future, once you've got your degree or A levels or whatever, you can go in and say I worked in so and so rather than.
Yeah, and it's good for references too. Yeah.
So, what would you recommend after we've done French perfume? I recommend you kill yourself if you don't get good exams after about the third time.
I would work either in a perfume shop or in a crematorium, because that way you're getting all of the people that are trying to buy this per hom that we've advertised. Yeah. We've got exclusive rights to advertise that. And also, so we get to say hi to you in the crematorium nearby us. So, you know, ferrying dead souls. That's my dream job. I don't know about you. What a cheerful job that is. But don't, whatever you do, try and get a job in a superstore like Asda or Matlan, actually, because they will treat you like poop.
Well, I had a job in Subway, and then let's say the customers weren't always very friendly. Then there's one story of how a guy once came in and he got served by one of the other people in the store, and he didn't really like the size of his sandwich, but I think he preferred 12 inches rather than 6 or something. And he got to the end of the sandwich it made for him, he got to the end and decided he didn't like it. So he wouldn't pay for it, so he picked the sandwich and threw it back at the people behind the counter. And
well, this is Liverpool. I'll just bring the conversation back to that game.
Yeah,
this did happen in Liverpool, don't worry about it happening at a store near you.
Yeah, the view from the person down south.
That would never happen. You know, you might get a tractor driven through the window, but you won't get sandwiches being thrown. But anyway, thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to get some of your questions sewn into this tapestry we're weaving every week, then just contact us on I'm Stumped podcast@hotmail.co.uk.
Alternatively, you can use Twitter. It's www.twitter.com/imstumpedpod. And you can also send us any questions or comments about the show there, and we might read them out next time.
Yeah.
It's been quite a challenge making the first podcast. You don't really know what to say at some points.
Like now.
Yeah, like exactly now. And sometimes you just fill in for time, aren't you? Especially when we haven't got any questions which we can answer, really.
But it'll be better next week when we've got your questions.
It'll improve all the time. We've hit the ground running and it'll improve all the time.
Yeah.
So we have a question sent in from one of our fans, and it says, I really have a big head and it puts me down. And this fan says, I mean, I just think I'm a freak and I've been feeling down about it for a while now, in brackets several years. I was thinking about talking to a therapist, but it is a physical problem that can't be changed. So apart from not thinking about it, I don't know what else I can do though. And my boyfriend says I am fine, but it doesn't help me much. And that's sent in by Jenny, the blimp.
I'm Chris Beale.
And I'm Sean Cassidy.
And this has been I'm Stumped. Thank you for listening.